Tyson Mueller, you're here at Cornerstone Full Gospel. We just hope that you get a touch of the Lord here tonight. I'm going to turn it over to our speaker, Brother Ricky. Amen. Let's give him a hand of praise.
Come on, let's give Jesus a bigger praise. I'm going to warn you, I'm going to drive the cameraman crazy because I can't. Right. I don't sit still.
Right.
So I'm just going to warn you, I like to get among you guys and see the whites of your eyes and talk to you a little bit. That's just how I am. I'm not a podium kind of guy. So, first of all, I'm very honored, and I just want to thank you guys for having me. Just a real quick backdrop of who I am and what the Lord's done in my life is I like to give Him the glory. 19 years ago, at 7:45 p.m. on June 2nd of 2000, I was just a Kentucky boy. I was a young man. I was 23. Still am, I guess. I'm 42 now, but I guess it's, you know, I'm still a young man, right? Amen?
Amen.
But I was just a typical 23-year-old, didn't know what's going in the wrong direction, doing things I shouldn't do, hanging with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. I reached the pinnacle of my life where I was searching for things and trying to find it in something to smoke or something to drink or something here or something there. But God was setting me up, amen? And on a Friday night at a youth conference, it was my wife and I at the time, we were dating. She was a backslid Baptist, and I was causing her to slide even farther back. But God had it all set up, amen. So we went to that service one night. It was a youth service. I went for food. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't come for God. I went to worship, and music was playing. And I saw everybody's hands up. This was all alien to me. I wasn't raised in church. Didn't know anything about that. I didn't know church protocol. Didn't know religious protocol. So everybody's lifting their hands up, and I'm sitting here like looking around. And all of a sudden, I began to feel something on me that I've never felt before. There was a presence. I know what it is now, but I didn't know what it was then. All of a sudden, tears start falling down my eyes, and I was getting mad at myself, brother. You know, my heart, I was sharing with the pastor tonight at dinner. I said, my heart is to the next generation. My heart is to raise up sons and daughters.
Amen.
And there's the modern church culture that we're in now doesn't want to preach on hell. They don't want to preach on sin. They don't want to preach on repentance. They don't want to preach on the cross. They don't want to preach on the blood. And I'm trying to tell my sons whom I'm raising up, and not only my flesh and blood sons, but my sons and daughters that God is putting me over.
Yeah.
I'm telling them, don't ever be ashamed of that message.
That's right.
Yes. There has to be a generation that raises that up. And I'm telling you, man, I've had preachers tell me, well, you don't need to be preaching that anymore because that doesn't, I mean, and I was like, that night, they preached that, and I ran to the altar.
Yes.
I went over there, and I said, look, I'm going up there because I knew that's what I needed.
Yes.
To make a long story short, I ran up to the front, fell on the altar, and I know, you know, we've got this whole protocol, you know, you got to do the sinner's prayer and all this stuff. Brother, I couldn't even talk. There was a deep groaning and brokenness that came within me that I couldn't even utter the words. But I got saved. I'm talking about I got saved.
Yes.
I believe if you really got saved. You know, I talk to people all the time. And they're like, yeah, I got saved. And I ask them when they got saved. I can't remember. I'm sorry, but if you really get saved, you're going to know.
Yeah.
I can still smell the pew, Becky, that I was laying on when I was crying my eyes out when I said yes to Jesus.
Yes.
And I got radically saved. Came up off the altar, and I was a changed person.
Yes.
My God, thank you, Lord. Come on. Let's lift your hands for a second, guys. I want to pray real quick. There's an anointing here.
Yes.
I can feel it.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this service right now, God. And Lord, I ask that you would get me out of the way so that you can have your way. God, we give you full permission to rule and reign in this place by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you'd move and operate in this place with no restraints. God, we ask that you'd stir up the gifts of God in this place. Lord, stir up healing, stir up miracles, stir up signs and wonders, stir up discerning of spirits. Lord, I ask that you bring deliverance, that you would bring the backsliders back. Lord, that you would have your way in this place, and we make no apologies about it tonight, God. Lord, I feel in my spirit there's a freedom in this house. I see the words freedom. And it's huge. The word freedom, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yes.
And somebody's going to be set free tonight.
Thank you, God.
And Lord, we thank you, and we give you praise and glory in advance for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I bind every assignment of hell that would try to bring our attention away from what God's going to do in this place. Every distraction. And we thank you, Jesus. And we give you glory and honor. All right, church. When I was praying about what I should minister on tonight a couple weeks ago, I'm going to share. This is the word I got. And it's going to be interesting. But I'm going to minister on five major revival killers. How many wants to see real revival?
Yes.
Amen.
How many's ever been in real revival?
Yes.
When we talk about revival, the word revival you won't actually find in the Bible. Did you know that? You won't find the word revival. So what does revival mean? Revival actually means it is the act of reviving something that once was alive. There's a word that you can find in Acts 3:19, and it's the word refreshing. Now, this term is a term we're familiar with as preachers. We understand this is refreshing. And this term is actually where we derive the word revival from. And refreshing means to reinvigorate, or it actually means a recovery of breath. If you had to get a prophetic picture of this, you could turn to your Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 37, and it talks about the valley of dry bones, in which the prophets stood over these valley of dry bones, an impossible, a lifeless situation, a breathless situation. And he was so bad that he had a conversation with God. And God said, "Can these bones live?" And the prophet says, "Only you know, God." Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Come on, I've been in some dead churches, but how would you like to have an argument with God about how dead the church is? Where you have to ask the Lord. The Lord's asking you, can this thing breathe and live? My goodness. But to revive is to bring alive. And can I be honest with you? If we were to be honest tonight, I don't care if you've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, if you're the pastor, I don't care if you're a deacon, an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, I don't care if your mama built the church, you sleep in the church, you own the church, or you built the church, every one of us is going to need a time in our life where we're going to have to be revived.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
But it's interesting because the enemy is on assignment to remove the core elements and principles that it takes to get us to a point where we actually experience revival. Let me show you an example of this. Go to Acts chapter 3:19. I'm not going to do this all night because you can just follow along with me, but we'll be here much longer if we all... I've got the scriptures up here is what I'm trying to tell you right here. But Acts 3:19. This is Peter. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell. There was 120. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then there was a rift. And can I tell you something? When real revival shows up, there's always a rift.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You think? Yeah. Listen. You think you're gonna put a sign out on the front of the church saying revival is here? And you think everybody? And if it's real revival, you're going to know it because not everybody's going to be happy and excited.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So Here, the day of Pentecost comes, I call it a revival. I mean, it was bad. 380 of these folks that said, you know what? There's a football game on. I ain't going to sit here and wait anymore. How long did he say wait? I don't know. He just said wait until the city of Jerusalem in the upper room and wait until you receive the promise upon high. But 380 of them said, yeah, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go back to the house. And 120 remained and they got it. Oh, come on. The indictment there is it was never about numbers. And before God ever does something big, he always does a process of subtraction before he does multiplication.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. Here, so Peter stands up. So there's a rift, and there's folks over here saying, well, these guys are drunk, and they're acting like a fool. And all this, looks, I'm a Kentucky boy. I'm okay to say this. There was a ruckus going on. Is that okay to say that? It's okay to say that. You know? I can't, if I say that up north, they'd be like, what's he talking about? So all this commotion's going on, and they're flipping out over here, and having a riot's about to break out. And Peter stands up. Come on, Peter's notorious for being a loudmouth anyway. He got him in trouble, right? But he stands up and says, listen, guys, they're not drunk. Look at your watch. Didn't he? He said, they're not drunk as you suppose. He said, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then listen what he says. You flip over to Acts 3. Because the people come together and say, what must we do? Now we see that something's happening. This is supernatural. God's in this. So what now? And Peter stands up and says, repent. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Repent, therefore, and be converted.
Yes.
I don't even believe you can be converted unless you repent.
Yes.
That's right.
I know that's old school today. But he says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Listen to this. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Golly. First of all, notice he says times, plural tense. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-time deal, guys. Yeah. People say, well, I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 12 and I'm 74. Well, honey, you can get filled up again. That's as dumb as saying, well, I got my car filled up in 2011 when I bought it. And I ain't filled it up ever since. And it's probably been sitting in the garage and it's gotten dusty and you can't even go out there and start. Listen, golly, it's like, let me use that analogy of a vehicle. The longer it sits and not gets started and the fuel runs through the lines, it's not going to start.
That's right, brother.
Yep. So I've made up my mind. I'm going to say something very controversial. I'm not chasing a cloud anymore. I'm not chasing a corporate revival anymore. I've made up my mind that I'm contending for personal revival. Because listen, guys.
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody. There is no corporate revival without an individual revival.
That's right.
If I'm not burning on the inside, there'll never be something burning on the outside.
That's right.
Surrender.
How many, I know I've got Becky and I've got Roger. How many are the Milltown folks that were around when I was pastoring in Milltown? Okay, this is a little bitty section up here. So they will testify. See, oh, hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to come back to you. Lord, I got to behave tonight. I got to get into this thing. Let me get into this. Five major revival killers. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start with number one if you're taking notes. First, let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Now, I'm actually going to turn there this time. Matthew 13, 53 through 58. Matthew 13, 50. Now I'm going to be reading from the New King James. I usually use King James or New King James. I'm reading New King James. Matthew 13 through 53 through 58. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished the speaking parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country. Somebody say his own country. He taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished. Somebody say they were astonished.
Astonished.
and said, listen what they say. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with this? Where then did this man get all these things? See, they were... They were acquainted with the him that they knew. But not the called him.
Right.
Not the anointed him.
Yes.
In verse 57, read it. What's it say? So they were offended at him. That brings me to the first revival killer. Offense. You want to kill a revival? Let people start getting offended.
Yeah.
And honey, I'm going to tell you, offense comes with revival. If you think everybody's going to be happy, and you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, let somebody come and take your parking spot. Huh? Let somebody come and take your favorite seat. I tell you, brother, I want revival until they take your seat. Until they take your parking spot. Or how many football fans we got in here? Come on, don't lie. Raise your hand. I'm not going to get on you too bad. Well, Lord, I want revival as long as it don't go over on Sunday. I don't want to miss the games. Listen, it's amazing how parents... Listen, I'm a parent. I got two boys. Parents will put their kids in sports, and we have no problem if it goes extra innings. But you let the Holy Ghost break out and go past lunchtime on a Sunday morning.
Preach it. Bring it on.
See, everybody say, I'm tired of people saying, I want revival. No, you don't.
No,
you may say you don't, but we're gonna try the waters and see. Now, when I read this, it says they were offended at him. What's amazing here is no one was offended at him until he started setting people free.
Amen.
When he began to operate in what God called him to, that's when they got offended. Come on, Joseph. You're all good until you start talking about your dreams. Nobody wants to hear about your dreams. That's pretty bad when your own flesh and blood come against you. Joseph learned the hard way. He began to share, his prophetic gifting and his dreams with the wrong people, and it got him in trouble and it cost him. The indictment there again is you better be careful who you share your gift with. Well, brother, I'm called to do this and do that and this. You better use some discernment. See, everybody. I had all kinds of friends when it was the Ricky they knew. When it was the Ricky that would go out. Can I be blunt? Can we get real? How real can I get tonight?
Real.
I get real. Can I take the filter off, brother?
Yeah. Take it
when
off.
I was out, you know, the old Ricky, the one that smoked the weed and the one that partied, oh, they loved him. But when I said yes to Jesus, got on fire for God and was burning for him, guess what? They got offended. I remember, I'll never forget this. I got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I went over to my buddy's house. And it was the same routine we'd always go over there. And the Lord was dealing with me. He said, one of the very first things he said to me was like, son, you're going to have to find some new friends. And he showed me in Corinthians where it says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Which, again, that's contrary to this church culture, because this church culture teaches, hey, you can still live your own life.
Right.
You can still do all the things you can do and still follow Christ. But the Bible says, if any man desires to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Preach a gospel that says, just follow Jesus. Hallelujah. You can just be you. Just come on in, brother. Just bring it all in with you. You can run with the same crowd. There's some same people do all the same things. But that's not what the Holy Ghost told me.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it hurt, man. These were my friends. These were closer to me than my own family. And the Lord, I was driving in the back seat with my little Gideon Bible And the Lord would speak to me. My best friends were in the front, and they had their music. We had the music on. I'm sitting back here, tears running down my face because the Lord's telling me it's time that you begin to separate yourself. And I was wrestling with the Holy Ghost over this. And then I remember the next weekend, I got invited. We go over there. We go to this party, and the Lord says, He says, okay. He says, when you go in here, I want you to testify and share about me. I was like, oh my gosh. So we got in there. And I'm telling you, they're passing around some things. And it came to me, and I said, man, I don't need that anymore, but thanks. And they said, well, you think you're better than me? See, offense. Yeah. Oh, you think you're better than me, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you're religious now, right? I said, no, man. I said, listen, I don't need that anymore.
That's right.
Because there is no high like the Most High.
Yes.
Amen.
And it was all alien to me. So, I'm telling you, my nephew was there, and he got so offended that he began to he cussed God, brother. I don't need your blankety blank God. You fill in the blanks later. I'm not doing that. I'm not messing with that. But he was blaspheming the Lord. It broke my heart. It shattered my heart. I said, so finally, I tried to change the. I mean, I sowed the seed. I did, and I changed the subject. We moved on. I left that night. Tears falling down my face, and the Lord spoke to me and says, you were obedient. You did what you had to do. But here's the thing, man. Over a process of 6 months, I had every one of them guys come to me in private. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus? He wouldn't go in public because he knew he'd be ridiculed.
That's right.
But so Nicodemus went in the midnight hour in private and met with Jesus. So every one of them pulled me aside in private and said, and began to ask me about God. But it's sad, one by one. You know the parable talks about the sower sowed the seed, mm-hmm. and one the seed was sown, and some fell on thorns, and some fell on stone, and some fell over here and didn't have much earth. And I seen every one of them, one by one. This guy couldn't accept Christ because his girlfriend wouldn't accept it. This guy wouldn't accept Christ because he didn't want to give up his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. One by one by one. And I was seeing all this play out. But watch this. Offense. Did you know that according to Matthew 24 verse 10, that offense will be one of the signs of the coming of the Lord? It says that many shall be offended.
Yeah.
And if the Greek word there is scandalon. Offended. And we guys, you want to talk about offended? Go on social media.
Yeah.
People get offended about everything.
Yeah.
Church, and I'm telling you, man, I know church folks. Church folks get offended about everything. They get offended about the music, the type of music. Come on. Jensen Franklin. How many of you ever heard Jensen Franklin?
Yeah.
One time he said, if I ever wrote a book, I would write a book on how when Satan fell from heaven, he fell in my choir. Some of the strongest devils you'll ever meet is in the praise and worship team. Oh, yeah. Because you've got because of pride, guys. People are bad, but you guys don't have that at all. That's what there's a pure sound for you guys. There's no competition and battling and all that stuff. Just always remain pure on that. That's one thing I noticed about you guys. I wanted to tell you that. Is that's what you have. You have this, well, I want to be in the front. See, for those folks, there's a thing called America's Got Talent. Just go on there, man. Come on. I got a word for you. Stop killing the anointing and the revival and go get your spotlight.
Amen.
Yeah.
Give everybody else a chance to experience God. Come on, somebody.
Amen. Yes.
So, offense. It's going to happen more and more and more offended. I remember one of the first things that happened when I took the pastoral position at Milltown. Man, I'm talking about offense begin to rise. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many preachers and ministers we got here? Pastors, raise your hand real quick. How many's dealt with Jezebel?
Yeah.
Listen, if you're a revivalist and you want to see a move of God, here's something else that's an inevitable. Jezebel will always rear her head up.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's not a It's not based on gender, guys, but it's a spirit that controls the individuals. Because I've seen some men that operate in a Jezebel spirit too. But I'm talking about they want to control, and I'm telling you, guys, I contended and dealt with a Jezebel. I'm talking about controlling how long the service is going to be, how the service is going to run, what you're going to preach, how many songs you're going to sing, what time we're going to get out. I was told, we like to get out at 12 o'clock sharp. So you ask Becky, what was the first thing, Whitney, remember the first thing I did when I came? I took the clock down. I said, well, we're going to fix that real quick, and we took that down. Come on, guys. Who am I to tell the Holy Ghost what he's going to do?
Absolutely. Amen.
I've been in churches, guys, and it grieves me where people are being touched by the Lord and being, you know, they're laid out in the Spirit of God, and ushers will come and quickly grab them up and tell them to get back in their seat. I'm like, good Lord, I have too much of a fear of God to have somebody do that. Because when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you that story here in a minute too. But man, all right. So number one, offense. Number two, revival killer is right here in the same passage of Mark, and it's unbelief. Why? Listen to this. Let me go back up here. So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And see, as ministers of the gospel, the devil will beat you up because we go to a service or we have a service and we don't see signs, wonders, and miracles happening sometimes, or we don't see things, you know, God move the way we thought it should happen. And we begin, sometimes we try to beat ourselves up. And the enemy will say, well, it's you. You didn't pray enough. You didn't fast. You weren't anointed. You did set blah, 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 blah. But can I tell you, that could be the case sometimes. But many cases, it's the atmosphere that you're dealing with.
That's right.
Yeah. That was the case with Jesus. It said because there was offense and unbelief in the atmosphere, as a result of that, there was not many mighty miracles there. So again, unbelief. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 42. It says, while he was speaking, this is talking about Jesus, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Did you hear that? Unbelief speaking. She's dead. Why are you here? Stop bothering him. Leave him alone. Let me turn there. Mark 5, 35 through 42. Listen to this. And listen, I'm going to read this again. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? In other words, leave Jesus alone. She's dead. She's done. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Notice he had to shut it down quickly.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Come on. When someone starts speaking unbelief over what you're believing God for, you need to say, shh. Yeah. I've had to do that before. Just shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. I'm believing for this. You're not. Mm-hmm. So you keep your mouth shut. Come on. Joshua, when he led the children of Israel around the walls of Jericho, you ever wonder why he told them to keep your mouth shut until we march around this thing seven times? Because Joshua came from a generation previously that because of their mouth got them in trouble and they never reached the promised land.
That's right on.
Yes.
Watch this. He says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Look, even Jesus had enough sense to know who to bring with him and who didn't and not.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Listen, when you're believing for big things, you better know who you got in your corner and who's not.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. If, let me say that again. If any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done.
Amen.
So if I'm believing for, with the pastor, and we're believing for something, if he don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Or if I don't believe it's going to happen, he does believe it, and I believe it, or he don't. Listen, guys, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah. Amos 3, 2. How can any two walk together lest they be agreed?
Right on.
I remember years ago when my wife and I were, we had a major, major decision to make, and we were not getting any breakthroughs on this thing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the reason why there's not going to be any breakthroughs is because one of y'all is believing this and the other's believing that. One wants to go left, one wants to go right, one wants to go up, one wants to go down. And the Lord said, I can't move in that. So we just got on our face before God, and I just had to give it to Him and say, God, unite our hearts in unity. And the moment, I'll never forget that the moment that we came together in unity and agreement, one mind and one accord, brother, it was like the heavens opened up. Golly, think about it, guys. That's why 380 people on the day of Pentecost wasn't around. And only 120 remained. Because the 120 was what? What is it saying there? Come on, speak to me. One mind, one accord.
That's right. That's right.
So unbelief. A little. And it doesn't take much. Paul said a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So then they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw atonement and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, notice what they were doing. The whole place was freaking out. There was no faith in their brother. None. Zero. They'd already marked her off dead. And when he came in, he said to them, why do you make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Are you kidding, Jesus? She's dead. She don't have a pulse. And you're telling us, why are you making this commotion? Seriously? This is the dude's daughter's dead. And you're asking us, why are we freaking out? Come on, you ever thought about that? Oh, come on. And they ridiculed him. Let the pastor stand up and start saying, all right, guys, we're going to start praying, contending for a move of God that is going to fill this house to capacity where there is no room to see, where it's bursting out the seams, going out to the porch, like where it's filling up the porch of the church and to the point where the porch is breaking like in Azusa Street in California. Let him start talking crazy talk like that, and you'll see who's in this thing and who's not.
Right.
You'll see, he'll start laughing and ridiculing. I'm telling you, people will start, I tell you what, he's a nut. Does he know where we're at? Listen, I got a buddy of mine that lives in Madisonville, Indiana. But before he planted a church in Madisonville, before he planted a church there, he planted a church in Charleston, Indiana. How many knows we're at Charleston, Indiana? Very poverty-ridden area in that location. Well, I would go there many times because he'd have me come and preach, and we begin to prophesy in the atmosphere. We'd call those things that be not as though they were, and we begin to prophesy businesses in the atmosphere. We begin to speak prosperity and this and that in the atmosphere, and there were some people that laughed at us. But you know, it didn't happen overnight, not 6 months, not 3 months, but 3, 5, 6 years later, there's all kinds of things booming over there, and business is coming up.
Hallelujah.
And one of the ladies that was in the church came to my friend, my pastor friend, and said, you know, at the time, and she even admitted it. She said, I thought you were a nut. And she said, this guy has just lost his marbles. Doesn't even know what he's talking about. And she said, I'll just come to you right now, pastor, and I apologize because now I see what you were calling into existence and prophesying. Now it's here.
Yes.
Golly.
Yes. Yes.
Don't ever let someone talk you out of what you're believing for.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Come on. Sarah might laugh. Come on, Abraham.
Uh-huh.
Sarah might laugh at it, but you keep believing.
Yes.
The Bible says in the book of Romans, as he became older, he did not waver in his faith, but believed that God was well able to bring to pass that which he promised. Who am I talking to tonight?
Yes.
So unbelief. Number three, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We're already there, so we'll just jump over to Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. You know, oh my gosh, I just got a download from the Holy Ghost on this. Do you know one of the things that teens do in this generation? They cut themselves. Cutting. How many's ever heard that? Cutting. You know why? Because they're so oppressed and they're depressed. Depression and suicide is at all-time high right now. But notice it said the man was cutting himself night and day. He was wailing and he was hot. He was crying out. Golly. He was crying out. And so as hopeless as some of these people seem, come on, up deep down on the inside of them, they're crying out for a deliverer. But the problem is, what we offer them as a church nowadays is we give them programs, we give them theatrics, we give them entertainment, we give them a sports club, we give them all this thing, but there's no anointing to set them free and break the chains, break the shackles, and set them free. There's so many prophetic layers in this. Notice that this man in the Gadarenes made his living and his dwelling among dead things. I can tell you, I can show you what kind of church that you enjoy based upon your by how your spiritual thermometer. Oh, come on. If you like a dead church, there's chances are you're dead on the inside.
Yeah.
I tell you, I don't like going to those places where they lift their hands and they speak in weird stuff and they shout and they run and they holler. You know, I like what one preacher said one time. They tried to come against him and they said, you know, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus ever act like it. He never shouted, he never screamed, he never raised his hands, he never hollered, he never shouted, he never jumped, he never ran around. And I love their comeback. They said, you know, you're absolutely right. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus ever acted like that, but everybody he touched did. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, listen, on End Time Headlines on our site, we have almost 500,000 people on there. So weekly I deal with these people. And they always ask, and they're like the Pharisees. They come to you and they try to trap you in your words. And somebody says, well, I don't see anywhere where people get slain in the spirit. I don't think it takes all that. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, go home and take off the covering of your socket on the wall, take your finger and stick it into a live socket and see how your body reacts.
Yes.
What are you trying to say? I said, I'm trying to tell you, if you ever touch the real glory of God,
that's
your
right.
body is going to react. Yes. Oh, now I'm going to, oh yes, thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to talk about when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you don't mind.
Yes.
See? Because this brings up the point of fear. And we'll go back to Mark because I want to finish this. I take rabbit trails, guys, but I always go back. I promise you I do, I go back. But we're talking about fear. When my wife and I met, I told you she was a Baptist, a backslid Baptist. She'll tell you the shit. She'll tell you I was a backslid. And then I was not raised in church at all. So it was all new to me. I got saved in 2000, and shortly after, I started reading. I had this little Gideon Bible, and I would go to work, and I would work at this place in Louisville called UPS Logistics. Anybody ever heard of that?
Yeah.
I actually worked there for about 2 years. And I would go to work, and I'd take this little bit of Gideon, an orange Gideon, and I would read the New Testament. And everybody, man, I'd bring that thing in there, and I'm telling you, devils would manifest, brother. You can't bring that in here. I'm saying, man, you scared of that? Listen, I worked at Walmart for when I got saved, probably maybe 6 months. I worked at a Walmart, and I remember I went to the break area one time, And so I'm sitting in the break room, and everybody's sitting there talking about who they slept with the weekend before, how many drugs they did, what kind of drug they did, how much beer they drank. And I just, my spirit got great. You know, the Bible talks about Lot. It says righteous Lot was about Jesus. I said, let me tell you, and I started talking about how I got saved and this and that. And then now, oh gosh, man, you can't talk about that here. You can't talk about Jesus. I said, hold on, I got to hear about all your old fornication and adultery and your drinking problems. Yeah. I said, I'm just going to talk about Jesus. Why y'all getting worked up? Well, you can't talk about him here. So anyway, I'm reading. This thing, and I'm reading in the book of Acts, and it's talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. They're taking a man who was lame and pulling him up, and he's able to run and shout and run around. They're talking about a blind man that wasn't able to see, and they healed him. And then I'm reading the Gospels where the lepers were healed and the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm reading this, and then I begin to read about the Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I read in how they were just speaking, and as they spoke, the Holy Ghost fell on as many as heard the word. And I'm telling you, brother, I'm reading this, and I start shaking. I didn't know what this was. I could not control. I was shaking. I said, why am I? And I tried it like, I'm trying to restrain it. And it would only happen when I began to read the word. And I would shake. And I would just quake. And I didn't know what that was. Now I know what it was. It was the Holy Ghost was coming on me, but he wanted to come in me.
Yes.
I didn't know that. And then we went to a revival service. And it was in Sand Springs, Kentucky. Anybody know where that's at? I didn't think so. You literally blink and you missed it. It's way out by Hart County. Anybody know where Hart County is? Hodgenville, that area, Elizabethtown. Yeah, it's out there. So we went to this meeting. And there I am in the back. I was probably all the way back here where that wall is. And we were there, and we're in the middle of service. And I'm telling you, just the power of God was there. You could feel the anointing. I'm still sitting there shaking under the power of God. And I had been asking, because I read about the, you know, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts as a father, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Yes. And then I kept reading this. But watch this. But my wife, as a Baptist, was taught, they taught them this. Speaking in tongues is, come on, y'all can help me out.
Yeah.
Is of the devil.
Yes.
So she's like, you got to stay away from that. I said, well, hold on now. I said, I'm not theologically learned on this. I'm just reading the word for face value.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, this and this and this. I point out stuff. Well, I don't know. So we went that night, and I've been praying. You know, here's my prayer, guys. We make it so complicated. I said, God, if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today, and it's for me, I want everything you got.
Yes.
Amen.
See,
glory.
How many likes hamburgers in here? Some of y'all like it, but just cheese only. And that's good. Praise God. You can have your cheeseburger. But how many likes... Or like me, I like it with onions and some peppers and some lettuce and some tomatoes and just, I mean, my hamburger is like this tall when I used to eat it. I can't eat red meat as much anymore, but I like it with all that kind of stuff in it. That's how Christians are. Some are okay. We just had this discussion earlier. Some are okay with the baptism of John,
right?
But I want the baptism of Jesus. The majority preach and teach the baptism of John, but they stop with John. Come on, guys. John says, he comes after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes.
Woo! Yes. So here I am. I'm in the back. I got my hands up, and I'm just lost, guys. I couldn't tell you who was there. Come on, that's a problem with some of us. I felt that in my spirit when I said that. Some of y'all, if you would just get lost in the Spirit, and if you forget about your neighbor, you'd be surprised what God would do for you tonight. And I had my hands lifted. I didn't care about who was around me, what they thought. I was lost in Him. And all of a sudden, and I heard the preacher, you know what I'm saying? I had my eyes closed, but I could hear his voice. And all of a sudden, I heard way up there, because he started stepping out and prophesying. Remember, all this was alien to me too. I didn't understand all that. So he was prophesying, and all of a sudden he said, you in the back with the, I can't remember what I was wearing, such and such shirt, whatever. He said, with your hands up. And I heard that, but it was like, oh, he's not talking to me. I had my eyes closed. And then I felt, and it was Melissa. She goes, he's talking to you. And I said, what? Why? I'm in the back. See, church folks think they can hide in the back row. We got a joke. We always said it's the backslide section. Even the sad guys like to hide, don't they? But listen, when it's God's time for you to get your number picked, He's going to get you.
That's right.
So here I am in the back. And I've got my, and he goes, you in the back. And I'm, and she's like, taps me on the shoulder. And she goes, he's talking to you. And I said, how's he talking to me? And I'm just sitting there thinking this. I said, okay. He goes, step out in the aisle. And I'm like, what? He said, step out in the aisle. Listen to this. He goes, come forward. He said, step out in the aisle. And I'm like, okay. So I stepped out, walked up. I was about right there and he was standing here. He walks up to me. He said, you've been asking God for a gift, haven't you? And I started shaking. Here's that shaking again, brother, quaking. And tears start running down my face. And I was like, oh, God. He said, you've been praying for a gift from the Lord? He said, tonight God's going to give it to you. He said, lift up your hands. I shot my hands up. And he laid hands on me. He says, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And friends, it was like liquid fire went from the crown of my head all the way down to my feet, through my fingertips. And brother, you could have paid me, you could have handed me $1 million in a bag and said, if you can stay standing on your feet, you can keep this money. I could not stay on my feet. Well, I don't believe that, brother. You can believe what you want, but I'm telling you, you stick your finger in a light socket and you see that. So I bit the dust. I'm laid out in the spirit, and I went to I couldn't tell you what. I mean, I came up off the floor, and there was no way that I questioned whether or not I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I knew I was.
Yes. Right.
But listen, I did not speak in tongues. Watch this.
Right.
Initially.
Right.
I did not speak in tongues. But I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. Not everybody's different. Weeks went by. I knew I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I went to a service, and the pastor of the service began to talk about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He said many times, he said, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'll hear your voice speaking in a different language. He said, you've got to give the Spirit utterance. Open your mouth and let Him speak.
Right.
Well, I'm scared to death. I'm like, well, God, I don't know if it's you. So I drove home that night and I said, God, here it goes. I heard it and I felt it. I said, I'm just going to open my mouth, and if it's not you, you keep my mouth shut. That's an honest prayer, guys. And I opened my mouth, brother, and it was like a well.
Uh-huh.
And it opened up. Now listen, watch this. Not everybody celebrated that. Guess what? My wife, when she found out that, was freaking out. Because again, it wasn't about her. Guys, I'm not picking on her. I'm talking about what she was taught.
Right.
That's of the devil. It's not of God. She said, she'll tell you right now, she'd come up here and tell you, they used to drive by certain churches. I'm not naming the churches that were Pentecostal Spirit-filled churches. She would tell you they would drive by them and pray for them, said, oh, God, save them and get them delivered to the devil. They did. So it kind of freaked her out when I'm sitting here speaking in another tongue. But she'll tell you the evidence that came. God, now I'm going to mess some people up. You ready? So when I say this, don't you get offended, because what are we talking about here? But I've always heard the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. How many's ever heard that?
Yes.
But I believe the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is love.
Amen.
Because 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I have the tongues of angels, though I put myself to be burned on the stake and give everything I have to the poor, yet I don't have love. I am nothing but a clanging cymbal. I'm making a bunch of noise. And she told me, she said, one of the very first things that convinced me that your experience was of God and not of the devil was because she said, I saw the love emanating from your heart. Because guys, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen some Pentecostal tongue-talking devils at Walmart. Yeah. Come on. In church service, speaking in tongues on a Friday night, but then going to Saturday at Walmart, standing in line and cussing the cashier out.
Yeah.
Oh, is this too hard of preaching for you tonight?
No. Bring it on.
See, I get warmed up in the beginning. I get a little bit hotter.
It's good. It's good.
We went to a revival back in Hodgenville, Kentucky one time, and it was a woman leading the revival. She was the pastor, I believe, of the church. And she was leading this service. And then my wife worked in a nursing home. And she was a nurse there in a nursing home. She said one time she was there as the nurse. She heard all this commotion going on. This lady was cussing everybody out in the whole hallway. She went down there and guess who was cussing everybody out, brother? It was the pastor that was hosting the revival. Let me go back to Mark. I told you I'd come back. I get on a rabbit trail, but I'll come back. So night and day, this man was cutting himself. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped. Listen, he ran and worshiped him. Let me get back on what I was talking about a while ago. See, there's a generation that are cutting themselves. And they're depressed and they're suicidal, but on the inside they're worshiping. Here's what I want to show you here. But notice when someone who is carrying an anointing and a presence to set them free, notice when the real deal showed up, they didn't run from him, they ran to him.
Right. That's right.
And I want to tell you, don't ever sacrifice the presence of God on the altar for popularity.
That's right.
Or for the society of normal.
Amen.
Because I would rather, golly, I'm like, who was it? I think it was Spurgeon that said, I would rather have 10 men full of the Holy Ghost and turn the community and the city upside down than have a whole sanctuary full of devils, a thousand people that are of no power at all.
Yes.
Right. Bunch of religious tombs filled with dead men's bones.
Yes.
So watch this. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. This is the demon speaking out. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission, and then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. Now, God, you got to picture this, guys. Here's a man that was demon-possessed by a legion of demons. And then he gets set free. Then there's a herd of swine and pigs. They all these demons run into these pigs. Have you ever heard a pig squeal? Let alone a whole herd of them. My God, that gets the attention of the whole city. And they run into the ocean. So you got to get this picture. And the herd ran violently down the steep places of the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And when, listen to this, and they went out to see what it was that happened. Y'all get this picture? So here comes the people coming out. Something's happened in the city, and it's making headways. It's making, come on, headlines. We got to go out and see what's going on. And when, listen to this. It says they went out to see what had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed. The whole town knew who he was, guys. And watch this. And he was sitting and clothed in his right mind. Here it is, ready? And they were afraid. Golly, it's going to sink in just a second. Watch this. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And verse 17 blew me away one time when I was studying this. Watch this. And then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. I said, my God, think about this, guys. Here's a massive deliverance service. Someone's getting delivered of demons. Revival's broken out. You'd think the people be celebrating. You'd think they'd be in jubilation. You'd think they'd be doing a Jericho run and march around the church and be excited and be broadcasting this everywhere. But they said, get out. We don't want this here. And it was all because they were afraid. Golly. How many moves of God are we going to give up? Disqualify ourselves, miss because of fear. And you know what I found out? And I'm not picking on Baptists, guys. I'm just using, that's my point of reference, okay? So if you're watching online and you're Baptist, we love you. We do. Because, listen, when I worked at UPS Logistics, I had a guy, he was a Southern Baptist. Since we're on Baptist, let's go ahead and keep on going on this trip. He was a Southern Baptist, and he said, and I don't even know how we got to start talking about God. And he said, oh, he goes, do you believe in that? And I knew he was going to ask me this. I was like, here we go. And he said, do you believe in tongues and speaking in tongues? And I said, yes, I am a tongue-talking, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, devil-stomping believer. And he's like, oh, boy. And he said, you know, that tongue-talking's of the devil. And Becky, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says that he would give you the words to speak and don't be afraid of what they say. The Lord rose up in me and he said, I want you to tell him this. And this is what I told him. I said, so you're telling me it's of the devil? He said, oh, yeah, it's of the devil, brother. You need to stay away from that tongue talking stuff. That's of the devil. And I said, you know what? I said, I served the devil for 23 years. And I never spoke in tongues one time. And I said, but when I asked the Lord for all that he had, and he gave me a supernatural tongue, you're going to tell me that's the devil? Oh, he was like, because he had no point of reference to go back to, but one of the revival killers I'm about to get on here, and that's the traditions of men. But a lot of these is fear too. They're afraid. Come on. I remember the first time I ever experienced, now listen, I know for all the sensationists, I know the what? Listen, that's just a theological term for an individual who believes that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are no longer in operation today, and they believe that it died out within the 4th century by the last apostle John, which absolutely baloney, because the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it call it the gift of the apostles. It's called the gift of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Come on. And the Spirit's not dead.
That's right.
I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes.
And where was I going with that? Why did I even say that? What was I talking about? They were afraid. So, the supernatural. People are afraid of what they don't know.
Yeah, right. Yes.
So, I know what I was talking about. The first time I ever experienced a real prophet of God. Because some of y'all may believe, I don't believe there's prophets. Yes, there's prophets in the earth. There's not as many as you think there are. If you get on Facebook and Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, or Instagram, or YouTube, and my God, everybody's a prophet, and that's just not true. Or everybody's an apostle, and that's not true.
That's right.
But there is real, legitimate prophets.
Yes.
And I remember I went to a little country church, kind of like this, and in Hart County one time, and the first time I ever experienced a real prophet of God was when he called. I was sitting right here on the front row, and he said, man of God, stand up. And I stood up, and And let me put a stake there. 3 nights before I came to that service, I was laying on my face before God, crying out before God and praying that the Lord would save my mom. My mom was backslid, asking my mom. I was asking the Lord to bring her back into covenant with Him and asking Him to save my stepdad. And I was travailing and interceding for God 3 nights before I came to that service. Fast forward 3 nights later, I'm into the service. I'm standing up here. He calls me out. He says, "Man, God, stand forward." He looks me dead in the face and said, "The Spirit of the Lord says unto me, no more than 3 nights ago, you were laying in your living room floor and you were travailing for your parents. And the Lord says that He's heard your prayers and to hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised." Brother, you talk about scaring the living daylights out. But listen, it didn't scare me because I'd already been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But I'm telling, when I say scare, the fear of God gripped me.
Yes.
And I bit the dust.
Yes.
Again. And was weeping before God. And you know what? Years, fast forward, 5, 10 years later, God was faithful. And my mother, I led my mother back to the Lord on her dying deathbed. And I spoke to my stepdad as he was in his place. But think about it. What if I allowed fear to not allow me to experience that? Golly, think about that, guys. All right. So here they are, they run him off. Number four, the traditions of men. Woo, this is going to be one that's probably going to hit some folks right here. One of the first things, when I started pastoring Milltown, again, there was this traditional mindset. And I remember the elders came to me and they said, "We're going to put a sign out on the front lawn, revival services." And they said, "We can schedule revival." And I said, "Stop right there." I said, "You cannot schedule revival."
That's right.
Woo, it's quiet in here. I told you I was going to stir up some stuff. You can't schedule revival. Listen, they couldn't schedule the day of Pentecost.
Right.
If they would have scheduled Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, guess what? He wouldn't have showed up. And I like this one too. Since I'm on this, I'm going to go ahead and preach this. Well, you know, brother, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And He would never do anything to disrupt us or push us out of our comfort zone. Really? Say that to Paul.
Yeah.
The Lord knocked that dude so hard off his horse, He slapped him in the back of the head so hard he was blind for 3 days. But God raised him up to preach the gospel to the Gentiles.
Yes, hallelujah.
Tell that to Jonah. Jonah had a real brilliant idea. You know what? I'm going to run from God. And then he tried to go down. That's what you do when you run from God. You go down. He went down to Tarsus. He went down into the boat. He went down into the chamber where he's sleeping. And then the dummy got caught, and they pulled him up and says, "You're the reason why the storm's here." Oh, that's a word for somebody. Your rebellion will cost everybody else around you. You think your rebellion and your neglect of running from God, you think you're only hurting yourself, but it's going to hurt your whole family because everybody else's boat's going to get shook up because of you. So he went down into the water, down into the belly of the whale, and he actually went down to the gates of hell. And then he said, "You know what, God? I think I will go preach at Nineveh."
Send me.
But I'm talking about the traditions of men. Acts 7, 17 through 25. This blew me away too. Watch this. "But when the time of the promise drew near," golly, "which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." My God, I just got a prophetic word for this house. I didn't schedule this, but I felt the Holy Ghost. Just let me read this again. This is a word for this house, brother. "When the time of the promise drew near, the people grew and multiplied." The reason why, like Jabez, he prayed and said, Lord, enlarge my territory. I don't even know you, brother. You know this. But you've been praying. So it may not be in the essence of that prayer alone, but it's been in that ballpark of enlarge my territory. And the fact that God is opening doors to do that very thing is a sign that the promise, I don't know what your promise, I don't know what you've been asking the Lord to do. I don't know if it's a revival. I don't know if it's an awakening. I don't know if it's healing signs, wonders, miracles. I don't know what the promise that you guys have been contending for, but the word says as the promise draws near, one of the indicators that the promise is about to come to pass is there, one of the signs will be, is there will be a growth and multiplication that will take place. But with it, watch this, but with it, I know this is off base, guys, but I'm just flowing what the Holy Ghost is giving. Yeah. But with it, when the promise was drawing near and they began to grow and multiply, the devil stepped up the assault and began to persecute the people. And we talked about this. Persecution only causes growth to intensify.
Yes.
It says, watch this. Until another king arose who did not know Joseph. So this man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they may not live. Woo! Here's another. That's where we are in America right now.
Yes, it is.
See? And I didn't plan on going here. Is this all right, guys? I'm almost done.
No, keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
See, I can't talk a lot about this on YouTube because they'll shut me down. They will. Guys, my main line ministry is online. God's raised me up in the media mountain, but I have to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. But guess what? I'm here tonight. But listen, guys, every time the Lord was about to raise up a redeemer, an assault and an attack came against the children. When Moses was about to be raised up as a deliverer, Pharaoh gave the order to drown the firstborn babies.
That's right.
Why? Because the enemy knew what was about to take place. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-knowing. He knows in part and sees in part. And you say, well, brother, can you explain that? Yes, I can. When a prophetic word is given and spoken to the atmosphere, the enemy has ears and can hear that. He only knows part of your destiny, that which has been revealed in the public. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When Jesus was standing at the Jordan, and the Bible says that when the Lord says, this is my beloved Son and who I'm well pleased, listen to Him. Not only did the people there heard it, like John and his disciples, but Satan heard it. Why do you think Satan came against him and says, if you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you're the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. If you're the Son of God, why would he say if he's the Son of God? Come on, even the devil knew he was the Son. The demons. The demons in the Gadarene says, thou Son of God, thou who come to torment us. So listen, Pharaoh gave the orders. And then we fast forward and we come to the time of the birth of Jesus. And what does it say about Herod? The Bible says that Herod said, oh, let me know where he's at so I can come and worship him. Yeah, you devil dog. You wasn't going to go to worship him. You were going to go try to kill him because he threatened your power.
Right.
See, they had it all. Their mindset was there was going to be a military leader, not a Messiah. So what did he do? Herod gave the decree to kill all the firstborn.
Yes.
So then we see there's a prophetic word over a generation out of Joel 2. It says, sons and daughters shall prophesy.
Yes.
They'll dream dreams and have visions. And the enemy knows this. And this is why we're losing them on opioids and meth and cocaine and suicide. And now there's legislations being passed in the highest places of the office, like the time of Egypt, that they're killing babies.
Yeah.
Yes. I know this grieves us and it breaks our hearts. But guys, I'm telling you, in the book of Luke, it says, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, hold up your heads.
Yeah.
Yes. Lord, redemption is drawn out. no means am I telling the church to shut up, be quiet, and stand down. If anything, it's time for us to rise up. That's the whole reason why we're in this thing in the first place.
That's
because all the way back in Roe versus Wade, the church stood aside and let the enemy come in.
That's right.
Come on, remember the prayer. It says when the It says when men slept is when the enemy came in and sowed the tares.
Yeah.
All right, so watch this. Listen. Oh, I got to read this again. Then the men, this man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they may not live. Listen to verse 20. At this time, somebody say at this time.
This time.
Moses was born. Golly. And was well pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all of the wisdom. And he just got cut off there. So I'm going to have to go over here. I don't even know how that happened. That's pretty sad when I cut my own notes off. Thank God I brought my Bible. Come on. Acts 7. I'm going to read the rest of this. 17. I don't know why I did that. 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Uh-oh. Well, wait a minute. I thought Moses had a stuttering problem and couldn't talk. Uh-huh. We've heard that for years. I mean, we were told that in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the Bible says.
That's right.
It says, listen to this. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm going to mess some of y'all's theology up. It wasn't that Moses didn't want to do what God told him to do because he had a stuttering problem. It was because he was afraid.
Yeah.
And listen, it was never the will of God for Aaron to go with Moses. Oh, what? Can I prove it to you? You ready?
Yeah.
The only reason why God gave Aaron to Moses because Moses was disobedient and wouldn't go to be the voice. He says, okay, where's Aaron? Use Aaron as your voice. But you know what? The thing that you think you need to enable you to fulfill your destiny could actually come a snare in the end. Because it was Aaron, when Moses went up and had the encounter with God on Mount Sinai to get the commandments, who was throwing the party and leading the pack when he came down off the mountain? It was Aaron.
That's right. That's right.
Moses comes down, he gets mad, he's angry, he says, what in the world is going on? And Aaron's like, I don't know what happened. We just took all of our earrings off, threw them in the fire, and out popped the golden calf.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on. Aaron was a compromiser. See, that's a prophetic picture. You have one generation that knew how to go to the mountain and seek the face of God and hear from God, but you got another generation that's playing around in strange fire.
That's right.
That's right. Yes.
And it cost them all to get killed, too.
Yep. Yep, sure
did. See, oh, come on, man. Let me read on here. Now, listen to this. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. Now, who put that in his heart? The children of Israel is what it says. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptians. Listen to this next part. Ready? This is Acts 7, verse 25. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not understand. You know how many moves of God our churches have missed out because we were stuck in the traditions of men?
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We thought that people could only be baptized in the Holy Ghost if we did it this way. We thought that things had to be done with. I'm telling you, guys, denominations have their little pet peeves on how they do things.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand. When I got saved, it was in the Church of God of Prophecy. And I remember one time I went to a class. Now I'm sure they're not like this today. I hope they're not. But way back then, we had one of our Sunday school teachers take us in the book of Isaiah, and he tried to tell us, prophetically speaking, where the Church of God of Prophecy is the exclusive church. And I was like, and I was a young Christian then, I was like, no, that's not what that says. But it's traditions.
Yes.
Traditions of men are traditions. Well, this is, my God, this is how we've done it for years, and this is how it's going to be. When I, again, I'll keep using this to, as a point of reference, but when I took over as pastor, I got up. That first, my first message was on, I talked about 12 principles of the book of Acts Church and the early church and the things that they operated in it. And we had what, how many families got up and walked out? Because I talked about the supernatural. Because I talked about the Holy Ghost. Because I talked about communion. Because I talked about they casting out devils and they healed the sick and they raised the dead. They didn't want to hear that. Preacher, we want a country club. We just want our name on the plaque. We want our own parking spot. We want our own seat. We just want somebody to make us feel good.
Unicorn.
Right, a museum. Look at us. So, I was reading this and I was like, my goodness. And because they didn't recognize it and understand the purpose of Moses being lifted up, raised up for them, he was sent on the backside of the desert. Golly, that may not do nothing for you guys, but that messed me up when I read that. I'm going to read a couple more verses, then we're done. In Acts 4, here's the revivals breaking out in the early church. Watch this. And here's the apostles are speaking. It says, as they spoke, the priest. Look who's part of this. Ready? The priest, the captain of the temple. This is Acts 4. The Sadducees came upon them. Who was it? The priest, captain of the temple, the Sadducees. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. And that was not an impartation or a blessing, by the way. When it said they laid hands on them, it was bad for them. And they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers... Listen to this. Now here comes... Oh, here they all come. Ready? Here comes the rulers. Here comes the elders. Here comes the scribes. Here comes Annas... Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power, or what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other name. In any other name. So then, watch this. Acts 4. I'm going to read the rest of this. I don't know why this. A lot of this got cut off. Now when they, listen to this, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. My God, I can preach a whole message on that. And seeing the man, listen to this, and seeing the man who had been standing healed among them, they could say nothing against it. Golly, I feel like saying that to somebody. They may laugh at you, they may ridicule you, they may gossip you, slander you, defame you. They may say everything against you. But friends, when you're seeing notable miracles, that'll shut their mouth real quick.
Right. Yes. Right.
Again, let's go back to this. You would think that they'd be like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God's moving.
Amen.
This guy was lamed. He was lame for all these years and he's been healed and set free. Revivals broke out. Hallelujah. No. Because it disrupted their agenda. Do you know, can I tell you there's churches that have an agenda and it's not Jesus.
Yeah, right.
It's politicized.
That's right.
Golly.
Yep.
Yes. Listen to this. He says, verse 15. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what should we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further. What? Yeah, God forbid we'd have miracles.
Yeah.
Don't they know that's not why we came to church?
Yeah.
Listen to this. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. That from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And then you go up here to Acts 5, real quick. Verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Revival is breaking out still.
Yes.
So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on some of them. Guys, listen to me. All my pastors here, listen, if you get to a move of God where your shadow's healing people, please call me. I'm coming. And I would invite everybody. Listen to this. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. My God, people are getting healed by people's shadows. People are being delivered. Miracles.
Yes.
Devils cast out.
Yes.
And then the high priest rose up. Uh-oh. Words got back around to the committee, to the denominational headquarters, the elders, the deacons. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them into prison. What am I saying? I'm trying to tell you again. What did I say to begin with? True revival will always produce persecution. And here it is. Ready? Because when the Spirit of God really shows up, He starts tipping over your golden calves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, everyone, and I know some of y'all saying, I'm ready for real revival. Listen, I'm telling you, when it really shows up. Listen, I had the privilege, to God be the glory, when I was in Cleveland, Tennessee, at Omega Center International, over there with Perry Stone and all them, in the back in the green room, I had the privilege to sit down with Pastor John Kilpatrick, and we sat and talked for 30 minutes. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Brownsville Revival? On Father's Day of 95, it broke out, and it went about 7 years. And I'm talking about millions of people came through that in Pensacola, Florida, and was touched by God. You're talking about healing, signs, wonders, miracles. Some of the greatest evangelists came out there, like Steve Hill, Dr. Michael Brown, and many others that were there, and they saw notable miracle signs. I'm telling you, the whole nine yards. And we just hear that stuff. But let me tell you about the persecution that came. We're talking about news reporters came out, local news reporters, and they slandered it. They made up lies, like Kilpatrick and Dr. Brown conspired the whole thing, and they fabricated, and they had people come forward and make up lies and say they were healed. Now, they lied and fabricated all this stuff, and it wasn't true. I'm telling you, not everybody's going to be happy about your move of God. And we can say we want revival, But when God begins to, come on, when he starts hitting you on the inside and cleansing you out, he's going to start from the deepest parts of your being and start cleaning you out and removing toxins, removing impurities, removing these things from you. Why? Because he loves you and he desires that you go deeper with him. And then number five, and I'm going to close with this. Number five, revival killer is apathy. By definition, apathy is the lack of interest, the lack of enthusiasm, concern, passive, complacent, or the loss of interest. Come on, you can have some anointed worship going where we're touching the very presence of God, and you'll look out and see people doing this. Or hold on, I forgot, we're in 2019. This is more like it.
That's right.
Amen. Now look, I'm gonna confess to you. There will be time, because again, I run a media ministry, so there's many times I will be on my phone. But guys, when the glory starts showing up in the presence of God, I ain't got no desire to be on my phone. I can throw that stupid thing out the window, could care less about it. Amen. So for me, I can gauge a service atmosphere by how engaged I am. Because listen again, when the real presence of God shows in, if you are not so hardened in your heart that you're receptive to the move of God, you'll feel him.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll want to be engaged.
That's right.
John G. Lake, okay, I'm just going to talk about revival here for a second. Give me 10 minutes and we'll be done. Okay? That's right.
Yeah, no problem.
I should have took the one off my wrist then, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Let me talk about John G. Lake. How many of you have ever heard John G. Lake?
Yes.
He said one time, when you see the children on the altar, he said, you'll know then that surely the Lord has one foot in the building. And what he meant by that is, listen to this, guys. Another way you can gauge true revival is watch how children react. Listen, hear them? When the real, we call it the holy hush. You ever heard of that term? The holy hush of God hits, and it's just so quiet. And nobody dares say anything. When the glory and the presence start showing up, and when a real move of God starts showing up, if you see kids begin to weep and begin to run to the altar, my friend, God is in the house. Because listen, you can't make them make that stuff up.
Right.
I know, I have a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I've been in services with both. And my 10-year-old's a better gauge for that because my 3-year-old's just now being exposed to where he understands some of this stuff. But I've been in services with my 10-year-old, and he knows when God's in the house. I can see it in his eyes and his face, and he's tuned in. I'm telling you guys, but watch this, apathy. Revelation 3:15 through 20. The church of Laodicea is called the apathetic, lukewarm church. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it is a representation of the church age that we are in today.
Yes.
Listen to the description of this church. Tell me if this don't sound familiar. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot, so then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say I am rich. Listen to this. I'm rich. I become wealthy. I don't need anything. Again, I've said this. We're in the church age, in this modern culture, in this church age that we're at right now. We have the most beautiful cathedrals, the beautiful building. We've got the theatrics. We've got fog machines. We've got the best sound system. We've got the best looking people. Did you know there's churches out there? They will put people in positions based upon how good they look and not their anointing or their gift. I'm telling you the truth. Because they're interested. They want to attract other people that are good looking. So we want this class of people. So they, I'm telling you, they put these pastors through these seminars and through these courses. It's called this church growth program. And we want to conform you to this image and to this likeness so that you can attract more to that image and to that likeness. And eventually, we have a bunch of clones that look alike, sound alike. That's why, let's talk about the praise and worship aspect of this. You can always tell, you can look back over 10 years, 20 years, and there's been this movement in the praise and worship culture. And I can go out in public and point out praise and worship leaders based on their haircut and the way they dress. I know that sounds terrible, but it's the truth. My God, we can't even have you on the platform unless you wear skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. And you have the hip haircut. And you can hit some chords like AC/DC. Did you know that there's churches... I know y'all think I'm embellishing some of this, but some churches, they warm up to secular music on guitars and everything else before they ever play until they get into the worship.
Yep, that's true.
I mean, we did just the other day, we got a Christian witch. A what? I'm not kidding. Go to endtimeheadlines.org or the website I run. I reported on this. There's a conference going on. And guess, and now you think nobody's going to go to that. Lots of people are going. Lukewarm, complacent. There's no setting apart. There's no consecration. There's no sanctification. There's no holiness. I know those are cuss words in the church today. But just bring it in. If we want everything. Today, I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I'm already out there, so I might as well get myself in more trouble. But I was watching a large gathering that's happening today. 70,000 gathering in Florida. And lo and behold, I'm watching this live streaming. And on the worship team, there's a young lady up there. And she's got, on her shirt, is a Miller Genuine Draft Beer shirt. And she's leading worship. Now this, millions of people are watching, and they're praying and contending for revival. And it made me so mad. I'm like, are you kidding me? But again, this, let me go back to what I was saying. This is why I have such a mandate and a burden on my heart to pour out to the next generation, to teach them these principles that are being lost.
Yeah, praise God.
Whatever happened to let not your good be spoken of evil?
Yes.
Whatever happened to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I'll receive you into myself, and you'll be sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So this is the example that we want to set before everybody. So what if, now think about this, guys. Here you are, you've got your kids, because this was really geared around to the younger generation. And here they are, and you've got some 19, 21-year-olds, 25 years old, and they're struggling with alcohol or maybe a drinking problem, and they're watching this because you said, hey, you need to get in here, watch this, because God's moving, and I want you to be experience the presence of God. And you put them in front of the television, put them in front of this, and lo and behold, here's the worship leader wearing a genuine Miller Draft Beer shirt. Now, what message does that give them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, I don't have to give up drinking. I can be the same as I am and live the same lifestyle and still go to God and do what He wants me to do. Wrong!
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care. Listen, I'll say it like this. Every single day, my friend, on our social media, our friends go up and they go down. There's people that like and then they unlike and they like. So I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather please God than men.
Right.
Now listen what he says here. I'm done, guys. He said, do you not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I know you think you got it all together because You've got a massive following, massive platform. You've got accolades. You've got the biggest Instagram following. You've got all this. You've got notoriety. You're on Christian television. You've got this, that. You've got it all together. But he says you're poor, blind, naked, and wretched. And it's interesting that he says, therefore, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And I'm going to close with this when I'm talking about apathy. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If we can get one of you ladies, if you want to just play the keyboard softly, because I'm going to close right here. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open the door and I'll come in and sup with him. Now, what's crazy about this, in all the seven churches, in six out of seven churches, he's walking in the midst. But on this one, he's standing outside the door, knocking, and they're not letting him in. It's interesting. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. They were having church as normal, and they didn't need him. He's looking through the door. Man, I almost want to do an illustrated message and go stand over by the door, but I don't want to mess up all the camera and all that stuff. But look, he's standing on the door looking in saying, hey guys, I notice you're having church. It sounds good and all this, but when am I going to be invited? Yes, right. Come on, just kind of lift your hands or right where you're at. Just kind of let's just gear into an atmosphere of just really tuning into the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you guys, but I refuse to get to a place where I have mastered church. I've mastered religion. I've mastered tradition. I've mastered ritual to a point where I don't even recognize that the Holy Spirit is not even in it. I refuse to do that. This preacher's trying to tell you tonight, listen, you can go to church every Sunday, you can quote Bible verses, you can go through all the rituals. You can know religious protocol. You can know when to say amen and shout and holler and run around and beat and do all that. But what if the Holy Ghost knocks on your door tonight? And he's saying, I want you to go deeper with me. What if he's saying to you, golly, I'm going to tell you what he tells me sometimes when he gets me in check. When I'm in the middle of prayer or I have worship on and he begins to softly speak to me and says, I miss when we used to be alone and lost in worship like you used to. I miss when you used to go into a time of worship where you would get lost in my presence. And you were not rushed. And you didn't have all these things on your mind. But you shut everything off. And you would get lost in my presence. I miss that time alone. Come on, when was the last time? Are you too busy, church? That when he's knocking on your door and he's saying, I want to come in and I want to take you deeper. And he said, I want you to lay this down for the sake of true revival in your home. Guys, I'm telling you, he's going to start in your house before he ever moves in this house. We can't expect a fire to burn in this house if we're not allowing him to move and burn a fire in our house. I want everybody that is, I know this is a very small space and we can't do this, so I'm not going to expect everybody to come down here. But if you physically can, I'm going to ask you as a showing of faith that you want the Lord to move as much as He desires in your life, I want you to stand on your feet and I want you to just lift up your hands and I dare you, come on somebody, I dare you to get lost in Him. I dare you to ignore who's around you. I dare you to forget about where you're going to go to eat after this. I dare you to forget about the time. I dare you to get lost in His presence and say, here am I, Lord. Holy Ghost, I ask that you begin to stir the hearts of the people. Let a holy flame begin to burn. Let a holy fire begin to burn in this place, oh God. Lord God, begin to breathe upon your people, God, a fresh wind. There's some folks here that have not experienced a reviving in a long time, a refreshing. Lord, I'm asking that you breathe on some dry bones tonight. Father, stir up the gifts of God within us. Stir up that passion, oh God. Stir up that desire, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I ask that, Father, you begin to baptize some folks in this place with a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Lord, fresh wind, fresh fire. Somebody that's watching right now online, if you'll just lift up your hands right where you're at, if you'll forget about who's in the room with you, in your office, in your kitchen, in your living room, right where you're at, you don't have to be in this building. You don't have to be in a seat here. You don't have to be in this church. The Spirit of God can move through a wall. He can go through a phone. He can go through a screen. He can touch you right where you're at.
Yes.
That's the fire of God coming upon you. God, let them experience the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost of fire.
Yes.
Come on, church, He's moving right now. If you're sick in your body, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Listen, I've been in church services where I walked in sick and left healed and not a person laid hands on me. Come on, you don't need this preacher to lay hands on you. You just lift up your hands. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, our healer. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. He is the healing balm of Gilead. He said that by His stripes ye are healed. By His stripes you were healed. Come on, if you're sick in your body, lift up your hands. Lift them up to Him. Begin to open your mouth and ask God to heal you. Ask God to touch you. Father in heaven, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, I ask that you begin to heal people right now in Jesus' name. I bind sicknesses. I bind infirmities. I bind ailments. I bind weaknesses in Jesus' name. I command powers of the enemy to be broken off of you in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you begin to touch bodies right now, right where they're at, God. Lord, ligaments, bones, muscles, tissue, backs, knees, hips, elbows, migraines, neurological disorders, digestive disorders. Heal in the name of Jesus. Set free in the name of Jesus. If there's a person in this place right now, you listen to me. If you know you're not right with God right now, this is not condemnation. This is the mercy of God. If you're in this place and you can say, brother, I know I'm not right with God. I know I'm backslid. I'm not in the right place and right standing with God. And you know that you're in that place. I want to invite you to come. And I want you to come forward. I know I asked you to stand up. But listen, Jesus made a public spectacle. He went to the cross publicly and was crucified for you. The least you can do is step out of the aisle and come and stand right up here. I want to pray with you. I want you to be rededicated back to Him. I want your faith to be restored. Well, we always want to give that invitation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sister, you sing whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Hallelujah. Come on. God's going to move as our sister begins to open her mouth, begin to sing. I feel like the Spirit of God is going to begin to move. We just want Him to have His way for a few more minutes. Come on. I believe God wants to heal some people in this place. I believe God wants to set some free people free in this place. Come on, if you're struggling with depression, you're struggling with oppression, with anxiety, fear, worry. Go ahead.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, let the chains fall. Break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, break every chain. Break every chain.
They would lay hands Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I'm asking that you begin to release strategies to the pastors that are represented in this house. Strategies and blueprints on how to break and break down the strongholds that are over the regions, that they can tap into wills, that they can tap into revival streams that has already been dug and plowed before them. Lord, that they would begin to partner with intercessors and those who have come as forerunners before they was ever raised up for such a time as this. The forerunners that came before them, and they shed tears and they cried and they travailed in a secret place, that they would see a move of God begin to sweep in their regions. And I pray that these pastors would behold with their eyes, and they would touch and be partake of the tangible presence of revival, true revival. And God, give them the grace to sustain it, raise up the people to embrace it, and give them the facility to house it, God, and the finances to support it. Raise up the Peter, James, and Johns that will go into the places that are dead, that everybody else has given up on. Golly, everybody else is marked off as hopeless, that they can speak life into it and grab it by its hand and raise it up, and it would live and speak again. And I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is saying, get ready, pastors, because some of your greatest leadership is not going to be from those within, but many is going to come from without. It's going to come from the Marys. It's going to come from the broken, the destitute, the hurting, the ex-drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes. It's going to be those that are going to come and get delivered and set free, and they're going to be the greatest contributors to your ministry. Because they've not been polluted by religion and the traditions of men, but they have been touched by a holy fire of God. Come on, let's give him a praise clap.
Lord, we just come before you, God. I lift up my brother Ricky. We lift up our brother Ricky, God. We thank you, God, for all the tenets of God that he preaches and believes, God. Holiness and righteousness, God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, living a life separate, God. We thank you for our brother, God. We ask that you put a hedge around our brother, God. Lord, multiply his ministry, God. Let his ministry go forth out into the nations, God. Lord, let his ministry touch people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God. Let him go out without fear, God, without hindrance, God. Lord, let him go out and touch the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God. We plead this by the blood of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood over Ricky and his family, God, over his ministry, God. Lord, just touch this man of God, Lord. Let the fire fall down upon him, God. Give him a renewing wind whenever he needs that, God. Give him personal revival whenever he needs it, Lord. We pray over our brother. We just lift him up to you as intercessors, God. As intercessors, God. We thank you for him, God. We thank you for him. We thank you for him.